Don't you just love singing those carols? And the theology and the songs are so amazing. I'm just so glad that we can do this together. What a wonderful, special privilege. You have just heard the Christmas story. The kids sang about it and acted it out. The adults have read scripture and they sang about it as well. It's a great story to remember every year, but it is more than just a great story. It is our story. I want you to own it this morning. It's personal. And you might say, well, why is it personal? How is it our story? Well, the first reason is, and we've been saying it all along, that Jesus Christ is still being born in people's hearts today. We serve a living Savior, and He is at work in the world right now, transforming lives. In another way, though, this story exists in Scripture, and all stories exist in Scripture for us, so that we can begin to identify with the people in the narrative who encountered God in Christ and see ourselves in them. So I want to get real personal just for a few minutes this morning and pull this musical worship time out of a kind of general celebration of Christmas and make it about you and your relationship to God. And I want you to think for just a few minutes about all those faces at the manger that we read and sang about today. And then pick one of those faces that you can most identify with. So I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to start with the Magi because they were probably the last ones to see Jesus. One set of faces are the faces of the Magi who probably, as I said, were the last ones on the scene. If you think about it, they were the first Gentiles, weren't they, to worship Christ. Do you ever think about that? The first non-Jews to ever worship Jesus. And it's really a symbol for us of Christ's birth being for the entire world. And they are not traditional kings like the old song says. These are magi. They're wise men who studied the stars and probably consulted with kings in Persia. They were highly educated folks. These magi measured and calculated and planned and discussed things all the time intellectually. And when they saw the star in the east rising, they knew it meant something that was significant for all times and places. A king of all kings was born. And they logically deduced their way to Jesus. They figured out generally where and when he would be born, and they found him through rational means. No angels got them to Jesus. It was simply their own ability to look at the facts, kind of navigate the stars, and go. So maybe today you identify most with the Magi. Maybe you are a rational kind of a person. Many like C.S. Lewis, who is an Oxford scholar, or Lee Strobel, who is a brilliant lawyer, have come to Christ just because they went on a journey looking at the evidence and said, this one is for real. So if you're rational and analytic, not prone to all that, you know, emotional stuff, then if you haven't already, I encourage you to look at the evidence and see the truth of what we stand for today. Jesus Christ at the heart of Christmas, born for you. Then there's the shepherds. Those are other faces at the manger. Maybe you are someone who just likes to mind their own business. How many of you just kind of like to go along and mind your own business? You don't want to get involved too much in things because life is complicated enough and you're just doing what you do to survive. The shepherds are you then, because in this story, what are they doing? Are they seeking God? No. They're just doing their own thing. They're trying to do what they got to do. They're out in the fields at night watching those sheep, making a living, doing the normal stuff of life. The shepherds were the opposite of the Magi, because the Magi were wealthy and educated. The shepherds were the lowest of the low in terms of the social scale. They're usually very poor, and if you were on the night shift and you were a shepherd, you were at the end of that ladder too. You were the lowest of the shepherds. So these are the shepherds doing the night shift out there, doing the normal stuff of life. And maybe you're on a night shift right now too. Maybe you're watching or caring for a loved one who is ill, or navigating through a hard relationship, or making some hard decisions in your life. Maybe you've been in a place where you have felt poor, and maybe it's not financial, maybe it is, but maybe you've also felt poor at this Christmas time because you don't have the family or friends you wish you did, or you're simply not in the mood for this season because you are in grief, or you're dealing with some other burden. You're just doing your own thing, getting through it like the shepherds. And then suddenly God breaks in. Unexpected, wonderful, brilliant. And that's like the shepherds. In the night watch, God enters in through his messengers, the angels. And it was so unexpected that it scared the shepherds out of their wits at first. The glory of the Lord shone around them and they were sore afraid. And God then speaks through the angels and says to the lowest of the low, "Hey, I've got great news." And it's news that ought to make you full of joy. Jesus is here, born for you. Go and see him. Some of you have shared with me how God indeed has broken into your darkness and how you've been changed by that. You thought you'd used up all of God's grace and patience, but then he was there for you, broke into your night. You met Jesus and it changed everything. So if you are in a dark place today, minding your own business, look up and say, "God, break in for me," and then watch out. If you pray that prayer honestly, you will experience Christ at the heart of Christmas, born for you. Then there's the face of Mary at the manger. Now, Mary was only about 12 or 13 years old when she was engaged to Joseph. Mary had been born and raised in a good Jewish family. She knew how to do all the right things and had always been a religious girl. Maybe you've been raised in the church and you too know how to be religious and do all the right things. But the angel who came to Mary had a different message to her than that she should just keep doing the right things as a good religious person. The angel doesn't say anything to Mary about religious protocol. Rather, the angel calls Mary into a living relationship, a relationship with God in the most intimate, tender way possible. As the mother and friend of Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus the Christ, Messiah, who would save his people from their sins. If you are a religious person doing the formalities of church, that is not a bad thing. It's only a bad thing if it's a dead thing. It's a good thing if it pulls you into a living relationship with God. As the months went by after the visitation of the angel, Mary was aware of a new life in her that had not been there before. When we say, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus," we too will be aware of a new life in us that wasn't there before. And we will rejoice in Jesus Christ, who is the heart of Christmas, born for you. And finally, there is the face of Joseph, Jesus' earthly human father, at the manger. We know from Scripture that Joseph is an honorable man. We sang about him this morning. He was probably a carpenter or a stonemason, just a peasant, but seemingly very kind and humble and faithful and strong. Scripture doesn't talk too much about Joseph, but one thing in fact, Joseph doesn't even say a word in all of Scripture. He never speaks. But one thing we know about his story is he's saddled with all kinds of responsibility beyond what seems reasonable. God puts Joseph in situations that would stress all of us out, that seem to be no win a lot of times. But God comes through for Joseph every single time. First, when Joseph finds that Mary is pregnant, he thinks Mary has had an affair and is distraught and was going to divorce her. And the shame of that in a small town like Nazareth, where stoning the woman was the punishment for infidelity, was intense. But God comes through for Joseph in a dream and tells him, "It's okay, Joseph. The child in Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. It is okay that she become your wife." So Joseph is relieved. He's able to keep Mary. Then there's the census in Bethlehem and the long journey there with Mary, who is about to deliver, the wonderful story that the kids acted out so well a little while ago. There is no room for Mary at the inn, and I'm sure Joseph is frantic again, but a manger opens up and a cave out in the back, the perfect crib and shelter, and shepherds visit, and angels sing, and God comes through again, and Joseph is relieved. Finally, there's the slaughter of all the firstborn sons in the area because Herod is so jealous that a new king has been born. And he's not sure who it is. He's just heard about this, and he's on a rampage. He's killing all the firstborn children in the area, and Jesus' life is in danger. Again, I am sure Joseph doesn't know what to do, and he is probably frantic again. But in a dream, God tells him to go to Egypt, and Joseph and Mary and Jesus escape Herod's wrath. And just as an aside, for those of you who are going through the Bible with us this year in doing the curriculum, the story, you can see a parallel between the New Testament Joseph and the Old Testament Joseph, both being spoken to by God in dreams. And where does God tell Joseph, Jesus' dad, to go to save Jesus' life? To Egypt, just like the Old Testament Joseph went to Egypt. And this is not an accident. The author does this on purpose, connects the Old Testament to the New Testament all the time. So I just wanted to say that for those of you who are going through the Bible with us this year. But today, maybe you are like Joseph, saddled with responsibility, stressed out by circumstances beyond your control, with people depending on you in great big ways. Just like for Joseph, God will be faithful to you. He will make a way where there seems to be no way when you reach out to him. That's what Joseph reminds us of, the faithfulness of God in every and all situations. So may God, who was faithful to bring us Jesus, long-expected Jesus, may he be faithful to you this Christmas in whatever situation you find yourself in. And may he use whatever situation you are in to draw you closer to the living Jesus Christ, who is the heart of Christmas. May you know his presence in a living way this season. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we're so grateful for your amazing love that made your heart a heart that would become human for us so that we could understand you better. Thank you for becoming vulnerable and weak so that we could receive you without fear. And Lord, I pray that you would be with each one here in this room. Whatever their situation, may you make yourself known to them. And that all of us would open up our hearts to you in a new way this Christmas. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Anna Marta. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came as a human being for you and me to show us the love of God, may his presence be with you today. May you know his love, experience his peace, and be filled with his amazing joy. Amen.